All right, everybody, let's do this. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray is producing and engineering our show. He always does such a fine job. What a conscientious young man who does. Really, I'm so proud to have him as part of the Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve. Yeah, it is Thanksgiving Eve, November 25th, 2015, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're live streaming. That means you can be by a computer and hear our program pretty much anywhere in the world, either at KVOI.com or BuckmasterShow.com. We have a full hour, as usual. We will talk about some very good news and some very positive things that animal lovers can be very thankful for this holiday season. Then we'll talk with the co-director of the Tucson-based nonprofit, the Miracle Center, which is helping so many people get out of homelessness. Very important work they're doing. Then we'll close out the show with our education blogger, David Sefier of the Tucson Weekly. 790-2040 is our live line number, my Facebook page. If you'd care to join us, I hope you do. Bill Buckmaster, and we're trying to do the Twitter thing now at buckmastershow.com. Let's welcome now Barbara Brown. Barbara is Vice President of Program Services and Community Initiatives for the Tucson-based Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Barbara is a very passionate animal welfare advocate, as am I, and it's good to see you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here with you. This is the perfect thing to do on Thanksgiving Eve.
And we have so many things to be thankful for, and you've kind of broken this into kind of a top five things, kind of the way Letterman does. So we will start with number five. What would you put in number five position that we animal lovers should be thankful for?
Well, and just to be clear, I'm calling it the Buckmaster top five.
There
so,
you go.
Just so you know.
All right.
So, you know, in the nonprofit world, there are a lot of funding organizations complain that there's too many groups doing what appears to be the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
However, when we're talking about companion animals, there can never be enough rescue groups. And so a few more were formed this year, including Bridge Rescue for Dogs. And they're really special, Bill, because what they do is they work with Pima Animal Care Center, mm-hmm. and they remove the animals that are the ones that are probably not going to get adopted and put them with a committed foster. And they have changed the lives of so many pit bulls and chihuahuas in just the short period of time that they have been in existence. It's been marvelous.
That's kind of a neat niche group then.
Yes.
Otherwise, these animals would probably be likely candidates to be put down.
Yes. Behavior issues and that sort of thing. But they work with Soul Dog and they get them trained and they make sure they get the medical care, and the fosters are super committed. You know, they were only in business a short time and they already had 125 fosters.
Wow. I think it's a credit to the folks who love animals, and so many do in this community, that we have so many organizations that want to find these forever homes.
That's right. Well, it takes us all to make this happen.
How about number four? This is a big one.
Well, it's the bond, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, last November we passed the $22 million bond. And what's so great is things are moving forward. So there have been several public meetings about the elements that will be included in the new shelter. And of course, you and I, we want to be out there with the shovels and have that happen right
when
now.
When is the groundbreaking?
Well, it's a little tricky because you and I have talked about this because they've got to work around the existing shelter. And so they're going to have to phase in construction. So we know the end, which is the doors are going to open sometime in 2017. So I'm anticipating that the groundbreaking is going to be in 2016. And with all the input from folks, it's going to be a great building. What's even more special, I think, is that when this happened, that didn't stop people from giving to animal welfare groups in terms of capital. So the Humane Society is doing really well with their capital campaign. You know, they have a piece of property they bought on Roger. Positively Cats moved to a new location, and Hope Animal Shelter relocated to a great site in Marana. So people are really caring about animals and the facilities that they're in while they're waiting for their forever home.
There was a wonderful gift, too, by the way, $1.3 million donations that came in to the Pima Animal Care Center.
Yes, So it's really on people's radar.
And the land acquisition is moving forward. I guess it's 2.3 acres.
Yes, and that's part of the strategic plan in terms of making sure that they've got enough space there at the PAC site to not only do the construction and have a way to get in and out, but to also have play areas for animals and other things that shelters have, high-quality shelters have, that can help people assess the animals and get them some exercise and out in the fresh air.
Number three on our list, Adopt Love, Adopt Local. That
was a big
success, your inaugural event. You've got another one planned for early next year.
Yeah, we sure do. So, you know, folks had said we really need to have a mega adoption event. You remember that there was event in Reed Park, and that kind of faded away. It was very successful, but that faded away. We thought there was a niche. So we decided to hold one. We had it last April at the Tucson Expo Center. Having it indoors was also a very good thing for the well-being of the animals and the folks who had to stay there all day. But 2,500 people came by. 130 animals were adopted that very day.
Very good.
Many people came in and learned about animals and went back and adopted at the different groups.
So that is, we'll look forward to that event. Do you
have April 16, 2016. So don't you like it? 4-16-16.
Very cool. And the venue will be?
The Tucson Expo Center again. And I would like the numbers to double, and I think that we can do that.
Okay, number two on the list, the Best Friends Community Cat Program.
Oh my gosh, you know, the Pima Animal Care Center was so lucky to get the grant from Best Friends in partnership with PetSmart Charities to trap, spay, neuter, ear tip, and return feral cats back to where they had been living. So their goal was to do 5,000 cats the first year. They've hit that goal for the first year. They are on track to hit that goal early in year two. So we're going to see a difference in the number of cats that come into all the different shelters as a result of this. Now, the Humane Society also achieved their goal of spaying neuter 1,000 animals in the 85705 zip code. And I don't know if you heard about this, Bill, but there was a 48-hour mash spay neuter event.
I did not hear about
it. Held October 9 through 11 at Los Ranchitos Elementary School.
Mm-hmm.
438 dogs, 362 cats were spay-neutered that day.
Wow.
And there were a bunch of other people that showed up. They were turned away, but volunteers are connecting with them to make sure that they get their services. So we think just from that event total, there's going to be about 1,000 animals that will have benefited. Now, in spring, we're going to really see the results.
Fewer puppies and kittens in
That's
the spring.
Right. That's
right.
Right.
And that is good news. And our number one, this is a huge turnaround at Pima Animal Care.
It is huge. Pima Animal Care Center, you know, is the shelter that has to take in every animal that's presented to them. And so what's great is that during 2015, fewer animals than ever before have come into the shelter. It's still a huge number, 16,000. But more are finding their forever home. So 82% are getting out of the shelter and finding a home, which is awesome.
And the goal will be?
90%. That's the goal. Now, 2010, they were getting 24,000 animals a year, and the live release rate was 40%. So this change from 2010 to 2015 is stupendous and is making a huge difference.
And when you hit 90%, does that qualify you?
Then we can say that we are a no-kill community.
And how many are? Is that still relatively rare across the country?
Yes, absolutely.
It is.
It's a struggle. And so there are a few places that have that designation, but we want to be on that map.
Now, the holidays, a lot of people decide they would like to help out at Pima Animal Care.
Right.
We've got Christmas coming up, so folks would like to walk a dog,
mm-hmm.
perhaps?
So Christmas Day and New Year's Day, the shelter will be closed, mm-hmm. and they love to get those animals out every single day, all of the dogs, and that have all the cats cuddled. So they will be looking for volunteers. You need to sign up because it's a limited number. But gosh, a couple hundred people will probably come, and those animals will get outside, and what a great thing to do on Christmas to give back, and on New Year's to start the year off right and get yourself a little exercise,
there
right?
Because
just like you, it's probably going to be on your list of resolutions.
Oh, yeah, and I think we'll all need a little exercise, especially after tomorrow we're going to be needing some exercise.
Oh,
for sure. So all in all, a very, I think we could call it a banner year for
animal I think we can, too. And you know what? Next year's going to be even better.
Mm-hmm.
So when I come back in a year,
yep.
I mean, I'll see you before that.
Hopefully we'll have you
on. But when I come back for this show mm-hmm. in a year, yeah. we're going to have better numbers. It's going to be awesome.
Okay, Barbara, where can people find out? What's a good kind of a clearinghouse place to find out about animal welfare issues?
Well, all the different groups have their own websites. Mm-hmm. But if you go to our website, cfsaz.org,
mm-hmm.
or call our offices at 770-0800 and ask for Kelly Huber, the Pima Alliance for Animal Welfare would love to connect you with what's going on.
Barbara Brown, thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure.
Barbara Brown is Vice President of Program Services and Community Initiatives for the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona, based right here in Tucson. And as you can tell, Barbara is a huge animal welfare advocate, and we are delighted for what she does in this community. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Hey, you too.
Thanks a lot.
On December 29th, thousands of visitors will mean millions for Tucson. With ticket sales benefiting local nonprofits, everybody wins at the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl, December 29th at Arizona Stadium. Details and tickets at azbowlgame.com.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha. Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. Not a very good singer, am I? But you know what? Cockroaches aren't a pleasant subject, and we had them. And I called my friend Shelby Hawkins over at Five Star Termite and Pest Control, and guess what? No more cockroaches. Adios, cucaracha. Hasta mañana. No más.
We're Five Star Pest Control, and we know what bugs you.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
On December 29th, Tucson's nonprofits will score, with ticket sales benefiting local nonprofits. Everybody wins at the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl. December 29th at Arizona Stadium. Details and tickets at azbowlgame.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this day before Thanksgiving. And it is a day that... kind of Thanksgiving Eve, we're all sort of giving pause of the many, many blessings that we have, each of us, in this community. Let's face it, bottom line, it's a blessing that we're even alive when you think about it. The chances of even getting a shot at this life and then living in a place like the United States makes it even sweeter. So, really lots to be thankful for as we think about our blessings. And the gentleman I am going to introduce you today has lots to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. His name is Matthew McFerrin. He is the co-director of the Tucson-based Miracle Center. It is a privately funded nonprofit program that provides a safe and nurturing environment for adults who are homeless or at risk of homelessness due to overwhelming life circumstances. Matthew, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about you, Bill?
Doing very well, and thank you for coming in to kind of share your story. Before we talk about maybe what you're doing, maybe we should go back about 8 years. Matthew was basically living under a bridge. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. I lived under the bridge at I-19 in Ajo. I was strung out on heroin and cocaine, had a habit of about $150 to $200 a day. And if you do that long enough times in a row, you find yourself living under a bridge, and that's where I was at.
How did you get to that point?
You know, it's difficult to say because as I go back and I look at my youth, it started off, you know, experimentally using drugs, thinking that I was having fun. Mm-hmm. And somewhere along the line, you know, what I thought was having fun began to control my life. And it turned into something that I had to pursue every waking moment. So I think, you know, anybody can find themselves wrapped up in addiction. There was certainly some circumstances that pushed me in that direction. My biological mother and my father broke up when I was 6 years old, and I struggled from abandonment and rejection issues my whole life. So I think they played in, but certainly nobody is immune to finding themselves in those circumstances.
You work with homeless men and women every day, Matthew McFerrin. Is there some kind of, do we that are not homeless, do we have a tendency to stereotype who the homeless are?
I think, you know, not as much as stereotyping. I think what people tend to do is they think that there's no way for them to help because they believe that the homeless can't relate to them. But at the end of the day, the important thing, what we're trying to do is we're trying to develop character and principles. And when we meet on that common ground, you know, there's nobody beyond our reach. But, I you know, maybe in parking lots, if somebody sees somebody that's homeless, there's a little bit of stereotyping going on. But for the most part, I think, you know, society has compassion for the homeless. And maybe sometimes, you know, they find themselves wondering why somebody would put themselves in that situation is the main thing that I see. Why don't they pull themselves out?
Matthew McFerrin is the co-director of the Miracle Center. And what was the lightning strikes moment that turned your life around, Matthew?
Well, I was walking northbound on 6th Avenue. Mm-hmm. And commonly every day, what I would do is I would go out and I would steal to feed my addiction. And that particular day, I wasn't able to steal anything and I wasn't able to get the drugs that I needed. And I was walking northbound on 6th Avenue and I prayed for the first time in a long time. And I said, you know, God, if you love me, you'll give me $10 so that I could get well, so that I could get a shot of heroin. Mm-hmm. And I see off in the distance a $10 bill. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm like, oh, well, there is a God, you know, and he does love me. He's present in my life. And as I walk up and I get closer to it, I realize that it's a fake $10 bill.
Oh, my goodness.
And
talk about a sign.
Yeah. And wrapped up in that $10 bill is the book of Proverbs removed from a Gideon New Testament Bible.
Oh, my goodness.
And I took that book of Proverbs back with me under the bridge that night and read it and had a revelation of God's love in my life, and it just radically changed everything. The next day, I checked into detox, and I've been sober ever since.
Well, that was a really astounding moment in your life, or certainly a watershed, Mark. And now the Miracle Center, tell me how many men and women you are serving.
Well, at any given moment, we house 11 women mm-hmm. and 7 men. Miracle Center pays all of the program fees for our residents. We cover their food, their housing, their transportation, any medication that they need, whatever they need to survive. We provide everything they need. We also give them master levels counseling. You know, the running cost per resident's about $1,000 to $1,200 a month per individual.
What's fueling that? Charitable donations?
Yeah, we're looking to expand the charitable giving. You know, we do have funding that comes in from thrift stores that we run, but the funding that comes in from the thrift stores can't cover everything that we need in the ministry. So charitable donations are certainly important in what we're doing.
Do you qualify for the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit?
We do. We are one of the organizations here in Arizona that spends over 50%. We blow that out of the water, actually. I mean, every penny that comes in goes towards this ministry. So we do qualify for that charitable tax donation. And essentially, if somebody's single, they can donate $200 to the Miracle Center, and they get a dollar-for-dollar write-off on their taxes. If they're married, they can give $400 and get a dollar-for-dollar write-off on their taxes, which is an amazing thing because it's essentially giving people an opportunity to make a difference in their city at no cost to them because they do get that dollar-for-dollar return on their tax.
And your two thrift stores, where are they located?
We have a thrift store on the northeast corner of Pima and Craycroft, and that's kind of our flagship thrift store. That's was the original one, and it's been there the longest, the biggest one. And we have one on Stone between Glenn and Fort Lowell on the west side of the road. And we opened that one in June of last year, and it's doing good.
And bargains?
Oh, absolutely. clothes are always $1. You know, we never charge more than $1 for clothes. Furniture at reasonable prices. Amazing deals.
What do you think we should do about our homeless issue here in town? It seems to be the big debate.
I think, you know, what we have to do is we have to meet people where they're at, mm-hmm. and we have to demonstrate love in their life and get them to a place where they can begin cultivating spiritual principle in their life and getting rooted is the main thing. A lot of times we try to throw money at the problems, but we never look for long-term solution. And when you're looking at homelessness, long-term solution begins with the individual, not with the masses.
How about the addiction component of homelessness?
It's huge. I mean, that's one of the main things is the addiction and the crime rate in Tucson. A lot of it is driven by alcoholism and substance abuse. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, at Miracle Center, we focus mm-hmm. on the rehabilitation from substance abuse and alcoholism because it will ultimately lead to homelessness at the end of the day.
Let me follow up on that. Would it be rare, in your opinion, to actually find a homeless man or woman that did not have that component in the personality, the addiction component?
I would say it's certainly the exception. There are some people that just want to disconnect themselves from society and prefer that way of life. When I was living as a homeless man, I had opportunity to interact with the homeless community at great lengths, and I would say maybe 2 out of 100 people desire to be there, and then there's a segment of maybe 15 to 20% that suffer from mental health issues mm-hmm. that have kind of led to them being in that position. But an overwhelming majority, it is substance abuse.
So when you were under the bridge, some folks did come to you to try to help, but you did not at that point accept that help.
I was never really in a position to receive help.
Okay.
When it was time for me to get help, I had to go out and find it because I had secluded myself from society. I didn't want to be
right.
on the front of the road. Right. I wanted to be hidden in the desert.
Well, I think the Miracle Center is certainly an appropriate name for the miracle that really happened in your life about 8 years ago. That's an amazing story about the fake $10 bill. And Matthew McFerrin, good luck with the Miracle Center. And for folks that would like to do those direct Arizona tax dollars to put them where good can be done, check it out, because that, again, Matthew, is a dollar-for-dollar tax credit up to $400.
Yes, and can I give the website real
Please
quick?
Please do.
It's miraclecenteraz.org.
Okay,
miraclecenteraz.org.
Matthew McFerrin, I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot. 12:30 now on The Buckmaster Show. Midweek edition, but feels like a Friday because we're going to take a couple of days off here. We'll have best of programs, but we want all of our people here at KVOI to be with their families to enjoy their Thanksgiving. Be right back.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts, book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie, what movies are hot or not from Bob Garver. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out Where You Could Vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
What if you could see tomorrow? Now at Biosphere 2, every Saturday, visitors will see and participate in our new interactive series given by elite presenters on what-if questions about life on our planet and the amazing universe. The 2015 International Year of Soils spotlights our November topics included as part of regular tour admission. Join as a Biosphere 2 member and have access to all weekly events in the series running through spring 2016. These special Saturday events from noon to 2 are a unique way for all visitors to interact and engage directly with scientists at the world's largest living environmental research center. Presenters change on a weekly basis, so check our website at biosphere2.org. Asking and doing the big what-if questions is what Biosphere 2 is all about. One of the must-see wonders of the world with tours daily, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, just north of Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push now toward 12:35 on this Thanksgiving Eve, this Wednesday afternoon. A lot of people already off for Thanksgiving, had kind of a shortened day. So suddenly, Ray Allen, today, right now, the noon hour turns into drive time because a lot of people put in a half day and they are in their car on their way home. We have David Safir joining us now. David is the education blogger for The Range. If you don't know about The Range, you should check it out. A lot of good information, up-to-date information, newsy stuff at TucsonWeekly.com. David also does a column for the Northwest Explorer. David, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thank you.
Well, I thank you for coming down to the station while the Thanksgiving preparation, I'm sure, is starting to be all fired up at the Safir home.
Well, in the spirit of Thanksgiving and those wonderful interviews you had at the beginning of the hour, Bill, I would like to focus on positive news. God knows there's always plenty of negative stuff and plenty of criticism and education.
Oh, yeah.
But there's been some good stuff, so let's focus on those if we can.
Yeah, and this interesting study from the Arizona State University, the Morrison Institute, about the way people in Arizona feel about education.
Right. Anybody who was listening to the station at the top of the hour heard that. It was a lead story on the KBOI news this morning. The Morrison Institute of Public Policy and Economics Institute, I believe, at ASU, did a recent survey, and they asked people, what are the most important issues to you in Arizona and state issues? Number one was education.
Whoa.
32%. One-third of the people said that. And then the combined people who said immigration and the budget equaled that. They were both at 16 and 17%. So this is at the top of people's minds, more than people coming into the state over the border, more than even the budget problems that keep on being pushed. Education, people are beginning to notice. And you and I, Bill.
Well, we talked about it actually a little bit last month that I had noted that in nearly 30 years being in the news business in this town, this was the first autumn where education, summer and autumn really, where education was a top front burner issue, because right. Normally it's after the legislative session starts and they start talking about cuts that people get all fired up about it. But now people are concerned about it before the legislative
right.
session.
And the legislature is working on it right now, too. So the Morrison Institute asked people questions or gave them statements and said, do you agree with the statement or not? And one of the statements was, I would be willing to pay higher state taxes to improve Arizona's public schools.
Wow.
People who agreed, 65.8%, Bill. Two-thirds of the people agreed with that. And of those, Democrats, 84%. But interestingly, Republicans, who tend to be more anti-tax, keep our taxes down, tax enough already, so and so and so and so, came in at about 45 to 49% agreeing. In other words, just below even. This is
that
an
is
issue.
Surprising. Yeah, that number is surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is good because I feel like the Arizona people, and I'm going to say I'm thankful to the Arizona people for being ahead of the legislature on this, for realizing that we're in a crisis situation, that the per student funding is 48th, 49th, or 50th in the nation. This cannot stand if we support our state and support our children. And it's up to the legislature now to catch up, which they can do this January, and I hope they will. This is good news, Bill.
790-2040. Let's engage some of the listeners. Would you be willing, listeners, to pay more taxes for education? Apparently, according to that survey, a lot of Arizonans would. 790-2040. David Safir is here from the Tucson Weekly. There was some pretty good news about advanced placement in the TUSD district this
week. Yeah, for people who don't know what advanced placement courses are. These are nationally monitored courses where kids take very, very rigorous courses, sometimes in junior high, but mainly in high school, in math and in social studies, history, and in English. And at the end of the course, if they wish to, they can take a national test. And if they pass a national test, it can give them college credit. If they go to a school like U of A, you can come in with AP courses that take care of a fair amount of your freshman year. Well, when Dr. Sanchez, Superintendent Sanchez, first came into the district, he and administrators were talking, and I listened to some of this talk, about the fact that there are plenty of AP courses at the higher and higher socioeconomic schools, certainly at university or high school, but a number of the minority students and a number of the students at the low-income schools simply weren't getting that chance, and they felt that was wrong. And they said, we've got to not only offer these opportunities, but we've got to push these opportunities. When we see a kid who is motivated and smart, we've got to tell that kid, listen, you can take an AP class. And we've got to go, they said, to their parents and say, listen, your son or your daughter can take this class, and we encourage him to do so. And then they have summer classes prepping, and they have mentorship and tutorial, because often these kids come without the academic preparation they need, but they're smart, motivated kids, and this is the kind of thing that moves people forward.
Was this quite a turnaround, unexpected, or what?
The award or recognition or whatever it was from AP is always unexpected. You never know. There were only three school districts in Arizona that got that recognition this year from AP for doing it. But I'm going to say it's the evidence of work on the part of the district to correct an inequity. And, you know, the district gets lots of bad press. Some of it deserved.
Yeah.
And they get bad press for not doing the right thing for Hispanic kids who are now the majority of the district and problems with segregation and desegregation. But if this report is accurate, and it looks like it is, and if it's based on stuff that I was hearing a few years ago they wanted to do, it's good news that more kids, and this recognition specified a number of those kids were Hispanic kids, were minority kids, more kids getting the opportunity to take those classes. This is a very, very, very good thing.
You wrote about, I think it was Monday, in The Range, in your column, that TUSD has decided to rework its student code of conduct. Is this a good idea?
I think so, too. Anybody who reads what I write in The Range will know that I'm very concerned about something that's called the school-to-prison pipeline. Mm. And that's where schools, rather than intervening and helping students, actually aid and abet the process of these kids getting involved with the criminal justice system. And sometimes it happens with people who are brought in from the police to be monitors in the school, or it happens in other ways that they're brought in that. Well, according to Sanchez, our code of conduct, in other words, the disciplinary code, you get a suspension for this, and you get a referral for this, and you get an expulsion for this. He said it's too punitive, and it's too much like a law enforcement code. So they are hiring, and I don't like the idea of spending $35,000, but I think it's well spent. They're hiring a consultant with a national rep who really knows this to talk to people in the district, to look at the code and say, here's a code that's geared for helping students rather than a code that's geared to kind of suppressing them and keeping them down. And listen, I'm a teacher. I know how difficult it is to have behavior problems in the class. But if the idea is using a hammer on the kid, you know, putting him down to get him out of there, you're not doing that kid any good. The job of schools is education and helping and making better citizens and better human beings.
And the research, I think there was a study out of California on suspension in schools, and it was kind of eye-opening.
Yeah, you know, I honestly, I linked to that in my post. I haven't had a chance to read it in detail, but it's a recent study. And they looked at schools, their previous suspension records, current suspension records, and they found when a school worked hard to lower the suspension rate, meaning kids being taken out of class, which, you know, think about it. It's the worst thing you can possibly do if you can avoid it, to say, you're messing up in school, so we're not going to let you go to school. I mean, it's you know, sometimes you have to, but you don't want to. If you lower those numbers, they say, the achievement rates at the school actually go up. You change the culture, you change the attitude, you change the sense of what you're doing with the students, and it actually benefits all the students, according to this study. It's very,
but the
very
critics are going to say that we're not being tough enough on the kids.
Yeah, and there's zero tolerance, and there's all this kind of stuff, which has been a very, very negative move in this country, I believe, both in policing and in schools and in our war on drugs, which have really created a negative culture, which I think has done more to hurt us with our mass incarceration, with the school-to-prison pipeline, than it has to help us. And I understand why people are afraid, and I understand the concerns, but I believe it's very wrong-headed.
All right, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you would like to join in the conversation, we would love to have you. As we push toward 1245 on this Thanksgiving Eve, David Safir will stick around for another segment. We'll be right back on The Buckmaster Show.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, five kids, two grandchildren, and termites. Termites is serious business. I'm telling you, talk about eating your home away, they can do it. Best call ever made, five-star. Five-star termite and pest control. A great job. They leave no mess. They're economical. And guess what? They're friendly to our environment. 886-0045.
We're five-star pest control. We know what bugs you.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Watermelon Man, little watermelon. You know, you don't usually think, Ray Allen, about watermelon as a dessert for Thanksgiving. I love watermelon, and, you know, maybe that would just kind of hit the spot, something light. But no, most people, I'm not saying I'm going to pass on that big, well, maybe a slice, medium-sized slice of pumpkin pie tomorrow. But made me start thinking, well, watermelon, maybe I'll go that way. 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line. David Safir is here, and we thank David for coming down on this Thanksgiving Eve. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. Happy holidays.
Same to you, sir.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Thank you.
Hey, David, I thought I heard on another show that the number of pages for the code of conduct is 40 pages. Do you know the number?
No, I haven't looked at it. I've looked at what it said in the desegregation unitary plan from the courts and what they wanted to change, but no, I haven't seen the document. I don't know how long it is.
My hope would be that they limit the number of pages to, because that's ridiculous. Once you go over 20 pages, you basically have created a legal document. You haven't created a code of conduct. You know what I mean? The West Point motto or code of conduct was simply one statement, which was, "I will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those that do," and that survived for almost 100 plus years. The last thing I was going to say is, I agree with you that schools should not be in any way a pipeline to prison, and that is what has happened in some cases. But I would just urge that you watch this and monitor these consultants, because what I haven't heard is it should involve the teachers, the parents. The students themselves need to be in this process, and those are the primary stakeholders. They need to be before we go out to the general public and then ultimately the school board. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, Matthew, I agree generally. It would be nice if it would be a shorter document. The problem is that these things really are legal documents, because you have to deal with racial and class and all kinds of issues that become important. So they have to kind of walk the line and get everything down there. But shorter could be better. And in terms of code of conduct, you know, it's not either or. And that's what zero tolerance is, unfortunately. It's a sliding scale. And the question is, At what point do you say this is intolerable? At what point do you say this kid is a danger to other kids? And at what point do you say, okay, I'm going to put up with this and see if I can work with it, and I'm going to pull this kid out of the situation for now, but I want him back in as soon as possible? And that line is a very fine line, but it's not a all or nothing. You mess up, kid, and you're out of here. I hate that attitude. It's just wrong.
We had a superintendent of public instruction, Diane Douglas, with me in studio last week, and I asked her, what about the upcoming vote in May to put more money into the classroom? And she said she is undecided. And I kind of got the feeling she may be kind of leaning in a no direction.
Well, if anybody, by the way, gets the Explorer that hit the stands today, I have a column in there which is about the funding process. And I understand where Diane Douglas is coming from, because she's concerned about the amount of money that's being pulled from the state land trust fund, which is like taking from a kid's, this is an example, college trust to pay for their elementary school education, and there's not going to be anything left in the future. So she's concerned about that, mm-hmm. as am I. And let me say, by the way, circling back to what we talked about earlier with that Morrison Institute study, people said they were willing to have more taxes to pay for education. This new idea will take no taxes at all, and it won't add money to education. It'll only bring us up to the legal minimum, or actually only to 70% of what the state owes the school. So this is not a step forward, but it's moving back from a step backward. And now it's time for the legislature to do what the people seem to want them to do, based on this poll, and actually put more money in schools to bring them up to a higher level.
How are you voting?
I think I'm going to say I'm going to hold my nose and vote for it, because there's nothing in me as a teacher that says I'm going to deny another teacher or another child a dollar that I can give them. So I don't like it, but I don't know. It's as one of my colleagues used to say, it's better than a poke in the eye with a sharp stick.
Okay. I kind of thought maybe that's the way you would be going. All right. Let's go to the live line. Timothy, you are with us at 790-2040. Go ahead, Timothy.
Hey, first I want to say I completely reject your most of your underlying paradigms. One is that public polls are the right way to make any kind of policy. Polls and surveys to make your decisions is I reject that. I reject your paradigm that public education is the only way to get educated or to educate your children. I reject that. Everything that you're talking about are the reasons that I homeschool my children. I'm listening to your program, and I'm very disappointed. If this is public education, then my kids and I want nothing to do with it. This is very sad, and I don't care to have my property taxes and my income taxes and all my taxes going to pay for a bloated bureaucracy, wasteful spending, teaching my children, brainwashing my children things that I don't like. I just want you to know that I'm one of the listeners that roundly rejects public education and TUSD in particular. Thank you very much.
Timothy. It's good to hear from a homeschooler with your opinion, and all opinions are welcome here on the show. Go ahead.
Oh, let me say that you put words in my mouth. I didn't say that you should make legislation by polling. I think you should listen to polls and say, okay, that's the direction that people are heading right now, and take that under advisement. I also didn't say that public school is the only way to educate kids. It's the way that something like 80%, I think, maybe if you count charter schools, 85 to 90% of our students are educated, so we have to pay a great deal of attention to it. Timothy, if you want to keep your kid home and homeschool that kid, that's your legal right, and I support it.
Yeah, and you're not knocking homeschooling.
I have never knocked homeschooling, for that matter. I don't knock charter schools, and I don't knock private schools. I think that public education is one of the bulwarks of this country, and we have to do everything possible to make it as strong and as effective as possible.
Hey, David, we're just about out of time, but you had an article in The Range yesterday, I believe, about segregation and desegregation, TUSD schools and Tucson charter schools. I will say this has generated a tremendous amount of reaction on the range at TucsonWeekly.com.
I think, Bill, that this is some original research, because I did it since I had never seen it before. And I said, I know that there are problems in TUSD with schools not being as integrated as they should be. Too many schools have either too few or too many Hispanic kids based on the 60% Hispanic population that we have in our schools. But I wanted to know how it worked out at TUSD and how it worked out at the local charter schools as well. And we have that information on the Department of Education website. You just have to go through all their charts and graphs and pull it out. And I found some interesting stuff. And unfortunately, I mean, there's no time to go through
it.
No,
you have 1 minute to summarize it.
But I'll tell you that if you go on the range, it really does have interesting information. Bottom line, TUSD doesn't do a terrific job on integrating its schools. Charter schools are probably less integrated than TUSD. They have a larger than normal proportion of Anglo students compared to Hispanic students, and they have more schools that have vast majority of Anglo students in them. So that's what I found at its base.
David Safir, we hope you have a great Thanksgiving,
Thank
you and
you,
your family,
you
and we really appreciate you being one of our 24 contributors to the Buckmaster Show. We're thankful for each and every one of you. Have a great holiday, David.
Thank you.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends, and we're very thankful for their support. Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Folks have a four-day weekend. Hey, it's not that big a deal to drive over there and enjoy. There's lots going on. You can go hiking, you can go antiquing, and some great restaurants in historic downtown Silver City. There are many places, fine places, to stay in the area, like Gila Hot Springs Ranch, Bear Creek Cabins, Pinos Altos Cabins. The list goes on, and where to stay and things to do, all listed on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. We have so much to be thankful for, as I said at the beginning of the show, and of course, all of our sponsors who make this program possible. Without their support, it would not be possible. Normally, I kind of do our credits on Friday. I'm going to do them today because this is kind of like a Friday, and we will not be live on Friday. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our whole team here at KV, OI. Very thankful for our station owners, Doug and Mary Martin, our fine operations manager. He's also my producer, Ray Allen. Thank you, Ray, for all you do. Our fine production ace, Jerry Cross. Producer Ed Alexander and Tom Fairbanks. Thank you, guys. You do a great job. Rosemary Brandt, she's been with me since the beginning of this venture 5 years ago. She now is my assistant here on the Buckmaster Show. And on behalf of all of them, we wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.